is 11:07, and I just want to welcome Dr. Rose Phillips, who's the futurist, medical doctor, group executive for people and culture at APSA. That she never talks to us in that capacity. It's just looking at the futurist side of things. And thank heavens, Rose, we're not going to be talking about black bags and, you know, toilet paper and purchase prices. We'll do a little bit more sophisticated stuff, like looking at this longevity project. Good morning. Good having you on.
Hello, Kino. Hello, listeners. Yes, I heard you. Jacob Zuma, death and toilet paper. I don't know.
No. Somehow they all go together, but somehow they all, yeah, we don't really want to talk about all of those. Now, of course, this time on a Friday, we chat to Dr. Rose Phillips, as I said, futurist, medical doctor. Used to work in a management consulting firm as the head of that firm as well, but a person who's now given her time to actually make a difference in this world and actually physically be part of that. But we are going to be chatting about the forces and the trends that will shape the future and why they are and why they matter. Most importantly, how they'll impact your life and what it means to be a human as we navigate, you know, just finding our way in this post-digital age. In English, for those people out there wanting to know, what are you talking about? Well, there's a thing called the fourth industrial revolution that's here. It's here, by the way. It's not hiding under your couch. It's wherever you look. And it changes our lives. And it changes exponentially. And we just don't see it sometimes. But today we're going to talk about the Human Longevity Project. You know, questions like, why do we age? Do we have to age? And can we conquer death? I can't imagine paying my bank for all that time, Rose. But anyway, let's talk about this project.
All right. Well, you know, you said sometimes we come up with the most ridiculous ideas. Many people might think that it is ridiculous to talk about something around can we conquer death. But previously, we actually used to believe that the Earth was flat.
True story.
And when we realized the Earth wasn't flat, some pioneers went and discovered many, many other things. So I believe that some of these questions that we consider to be sacred cows, we have to talk about them.
Okay,
and death,
yeah.
And longevity is one of them, because it actually does have implications for how we live our lives even today.
It will. I mean, something simple like a marriage certificate, like you get married and you say, till death do we part. Hello?
In fact, I one of the implications, tongue-in-cheek, I say it is the end of monogamy. It's the end of monogamy. I think divorce rates will go up. I mean, who wants to be married to the same person for over 100 years? I mean, till death do you part will now become a life sentence. I hear you. But just on a serious note, let's just maybe uncover the science behind this.
Absolutely.
So knowledge is becoming cheaper. And knowledge is becoming more accessible to more people. If you just think about a Kenyan farmer or a South African farmer that has a smartphone, has in his or her hand almost the same computational power as NASA had when they sent a man to the moon. So because all of that knowledge becomes more and more available, accessible, cheaper, we're going to be able to solve more and more problems that are currently in the world. And if you look at what's happening currently, there are people, and it's usually just the rich that start off with this, but as it becomes cheaper, everybody else gets to do this. We've got cryogenics, and please don't try this at home with your chest freezer, but this is where people are freezing themselves after death, waiting for the day when science discovers the cure for death and they can be resurrected. There's about 2,000 people that have signed up. They haven't died yet, so they're not being frozen in nitrogen baths yet, but this is going to happen. Some people are investing in stem cell research, and a stem cell is a cell that can really transfer into one or other cell, any cell that you need, so that if some cells in your body are aging too fast, you can replace it, or some cells are damaged, you can replace it. So that's stem cell research. But for me, Kino, probably the most exciting part of this is the Human Genome Project.
Yes.
It took us 15 years, and it took us $2.7 billion as a global society, 15 years, $2.7 billion to decode the entire human genome, which means today we know exactly every single gene in the human body. And we know, even as lay people, some genes are good, some genes are bad. So we already know what the human genome looks like. And today you could actually have your genome decoded for about $1,500. $2.7 billion in 2003, $1,400. $1 right now. And on top of that, we found a way that we could edit genes. We've got a way to cut out the bad genes. Now, all you have to do now is figure out which are the bad genes, which are the good genes, which are the genes that are giving you cancer, which are the genes that are aging you. And we are on our way to getting to the point of, firstly, living longer, healthier, and potentially, ultimately, curing death.
Now, that is, and we can continue talking about the consequences. And there are about, what, 30,000 genes in the human DNA? And I don't like saying DNA. I like saying deoxyribonucleic acid.
Oh, you're very clever.
It's the only thing I remember from school, by the way. Just hashtag, just saying. So that is rather interesting, but there are going to be such a lot of consequences. The thing is, the world can only handle so many people. Right. And we're going to end up, and I don't know what it's going to do for your libido and everything else, but we're going to end up having children, and this world is going to become more and more stressed and smaller and smaller and smaller. Eventually, we literally are going to have to go and live on Mars.
Absolutely. So if you do not believe in the work that Elon Musk is doing, if you do not believe what Richard Branson is doing makes any sense, but if you think about all these things coming together, you have to recognize that the Christopher Columbus of this age is the Elon Musk of this world, because we have to, unfortunately, think about becoming multi-planetary, because there will not be enough space for all of us on this planet. Of course, there's also the human way of doing things. The more intelligent we get, the more access we have to work, the more access we have to knowledge, the less children we have. That's also a consequence. So is it true that there will be more of us?
Well,
or will we get to a point where society plateaus because less people are having children? That's one of the other implications we think about.
Depends where you are in the world. I mean, if you're in Japan, it's a different story, and, you know, there are different dynamics there. But as intelligent as we are, we also mess up the Earth. So even with the current population that we sit with, the Earth becomes more and more less sustainable. So, I mean, there's the other dynamic that one has to throw into the mix there as well. You know, because even if we increase population by another 5% and we keep stuffing up like we are, and our richest nations, by the way, the most educated people apparently, are the ones doing the damage.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking, as I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, the whole notion of the Earth was flat, and now we realize the Earth was round. But, you know, for somebody in Manenberg or somebody in Pontierville or somebody in Soweto, the Earth can be as round as it possibly can be. They will never get to see Japan in reality.
Exactly.
And just this morning, we saw people boarding, standing at the airports and climbing on top of jets to stop people from flying. So I think even aeroplanes are going to be grounded going forward because of the climate issues that we are facing. So the reality of our future, when people talk about it becoming more volatile and complex and ambiguous and uncertain, these are the things that we are talking about, because there's so many different things happening. You just have no idea how it might move forward.
This is a puzzle that's very, very difficult to put together. Then you also, I mean, having said what I said earlier, you have Generation Z growing up. And it's not Generation Zuma. These are people who are responsible, young people who want impact. They care about the work that they do. If the work they do is not meaningful, does not have impact, then they don't really want to do it. They also want to work, but they also want to travel and see the rest of the world and meet new people and engage with different cultures. That, on the other hand, would give us hope, won't it? Because that seems to be a generation with a little bit more introspection and, you know, awareness of what's happening around them.
Yeah, very much so. When people say that youth is wasted on the young, that's really only old people that say that.
That's true. So next week, hopefully, we're going to be chatting to this doctor who did the very first robotic implant of a knee, for example. And that's the other thing. So, you know, looking at your 30,000 genes and DNA, and you're kicking out the bad ones, putting in good stuff, making sure that we live a bit longer. That's one aspect to it. The other bit is, you know, the technological advancements that we do make. Maybe one day we don't actually need the heart as we know it. Maybe we'd be able to go to, okay, maybe not Pick n Pay or ShopRite Checkers, but we'd be able to purchase something that operates like the heart, that can potentially get a service and can be tweaked based on our current conditions.
Now you know why it's such a fascinating field to be part of futurism, because these are the things that we have to think about. Here's another thing to think about, talking about death and living forever and living to 200 years, which maybe potentially in the workplace means that when you are at retirement age of 60, you are only in your adolescence. Now, what does that mean? But taking this to the ethics part of society, and you know, you and I, we talk a lot about the future of work, and here's a new field that I would like to introduce young people to, and that's the field of philosophy and the field of ethics.
Yes.
Because a lot of these things that we are talking about, these implications that we are talking about, they have implications on how we live our lives. I think that, for example, more women will now freeze their eggs at the age of 30. It's inevitable. IVF, in vitro fertilization, will become more and more a reality, not just something that certain people do, that more people do, because of these implications. Mm-hmm. And more young people, I think, ought to and probably will study things like ethics.
Yeah.
And for example, if we talk about living to 200 years or trying to conquer death, and this is something we try to do, what does mortality mean? And there's a bioethicist that says that mortality makes life matter. Because we know it will end, we try and do good. Yeah. When we live forever, how will we treat our lives? Will we treat our lives in a lazy, disengaged, disinterested way? Will it not matter anymore? These are the things that we have to battle with as society, as we make these decisions to conquer certain of these, what we used to think as intractable problems.
I mean, even something simple like physical fitness. We go, we run on a treadmill because we know if we don't eat properly, your triglycerides will get a hold of you, and eventually, you know, blood won't be able to make its way to your heart. If you don't stay physically fit, you're going to deteriorate. You think about the legacy issues of, you know, your two-year-old growing up right now, your 17-year-old, what are you leaving for them? Because you're going to expire one of these days. So that, I think, equals purpose in life for a lot of people. But that purpose then falls away when you're always going to be around, and so are they. I mean, so I must tell you, if you had asked me now, Rose, Kino, would you like to live to 200? I'd say hell no, actually. I'm actually quite happy knowing that I'm going to expire at some stage. And I love the fact that my drive and my purpose emanates from there.
Yes, because you essentially live on through the next generations.
Yeah.
We are purely caretakers of this earth. We are merely custodians of this earth.
I don't know what's happened to the line there, Dr. Rose. Okay, we seem to have lost Dr. Rose Phillips there. But hey, why don't you pull in and talk about this as well, hey? 021-446-0567. And that's if you just want to chat to us and live and deliver. I mean, this whole thing, a notion of living till 200, you know, looking at things like cybernetic mortality, for example. You want to talk about cybernetic mortality, we can do that in more detail with Dr. Rose Phillips. But your calls are welcome on 021-446-0567. And I love the point that the doctor raises here. The issue of other fields that will be opening up. As a matter of fact, these fields should be opening up with things like AI in any case, because there are moral issues about it. If you, for example, train an AI system on the best candidate for a job and you take historical data, what exactly is that algorithm asking the computer, the model, to look at? And which history do you put in? Because with artificial intelligence, dirt in, dirt out. And, you know, so I love the point. So when we get back, we're going to be wrapping with Dr. Rose Phillips, who's a futurist medical doctor. And, yeah, just all-round cool person to have these type of conversations with. Dr. Rose Phillips, futurist, medical doctor, looking at the world that we will become one day. Things like cybernetic immortality. But before we even just touch on that cybernetic immortality in more detail, you know, and there are lots of people putting lots of money into it. I know there's a Russian billionaire putting a lot of money into that as well. I love, Rose, just when we lost you there, what you were saying about things like ethics and these fields becoming more and more pertinent. I also think we're going to have to understand more clearly what it is to be a human being, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're talking about that that Russian person. Mm. So the Russian billionaire's concept of living a long life is taking consciousness and separating it from the human body. Mm. The rest of the people are trying to make the human body live longer. But he's separating what we might call the soul, we might call it the mind. He's separating the mind from the body. And you can already see what children do. Children spend so much of their time in virtual reality. I decided this is a world I have to know. Yeah. So I got myself a HoloLens. And literally for hours, you can disappear into a world that to you seem like it's real. Because our world is our perception of our mind. So the separation of consciousness from the physical body is another area, and you know we can talk about this for hours, that people are exploring to understand what makes you and me human. Is it our physical bodies? Is it our physical manifestations? Or is it our minds?
Tell me more about this HoloLens.
You don't have one? Your wife has got to get you one.
Rose, you're only telling me about this now. You are way more technically advanced than I am. So let's talk about, what does this HoloLens do? Bruce is even looking, he's got this quizzical look, and Bruce knows everything. So what exactly is the HoloLens?
Well, basically, it's really just a virtual reality headset.
Oh.
So you step into a virtual reality headset and your entire world is a completely different world. And the reason why I did it is not just because I wanted to understand the concept of it. I also wanted to understand how does the human body change. So when you are inside this HoloLens, your reality of three dimensions completely changes.
Wow.
The world disappears out from under your feet and you literally don't know whether you are suspended in air or whether you are standing on the ground. So when I talk about the skills of the future, it's even how you physically, as a physical body, try yeah. to maneuver and navigate yourself into this earth on this earth. Put on a HoloLens and the world as you know it changes.
The HoloLens 2 device only at only $3,500.
Okay. Yeah, and if you buy one, you can get another one free.
Oh, my word. Okay, now you see, I should not have asked you about this because now I'm all interested and I think I want to go and get a HoloLens.
No, you must.
Oh, my word.
Really, I always say the future is about experiencing of the future realities now so we can get a sense of how it is changing around us.
This is the exact reason why I tell my wife I should get the latest PlayStation and all the VR glasses and. I'm still trying to win that battle, but I will get there. But I think the HoloLens, That definitely looks like a game changer. It's a Microsoft product, isn't it? I'm just checking it out right here now.
No, I'm not actually endorsing any particular company on this telephone.
No, of course you're not. Next, I'm reading the thing here. Don't worry, it wasn't you who said that. I mean, there's also cybernetic immortality. They say, you know, one way to reach the ideal has been called uploading, the transfer of our mental organization to a very sophisticated computer system. Yo, I'm going to leave it right there.
Yeah, Kino, next time we're going to talk about what this upload is actually fairly similar to the virtual reality games that we play every day. Even when you and I used to play Tetris, that's
yes.
about the only thing we know.
Exactly.
It's pretty much the same thing. And now Tetris has become so sophisticated, gods of war. These are all uploads of sensations and perceptions into a computer that has been previously the analog world and is now the digital world. So maybe we can't fly anymore because we are all grounded, but you put on a HoloLens or a virtual reality headset and you are in Japan.
I like this. It's interesting. I just, the operating system just messing with Microsoft, because that blue screen will kill me. I mean, literally.
I know. And don't put it on while you are in South Africa, because we don't know about the connection speed.
Exactly. Dr. Rose Phillips, you are always such a pleasure to chat to. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Futurist and medical doctor there, Dr. Rose Phillips. It is